Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and is provided in collaboration with KCVX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gillard Sargent. Fred Monroe is hosting the program from home today and amid concerns about the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Fred and his guests will be talking about the impact of COVID-19 on women-owned businesses. His guests today are Central Coast business owners and active members of the National Association of Women Business Owners, Central Coast Chapter. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. Call 805-549-8855 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you very much. I'm glad we're with you today. We have a wonderful program planned for you all today. We're going to look at the impact of COVID-19 on women business owners. Really, it's women business owners are a segment of the community that, while many people are aware of them because they deal with them on a daily basis, if they're interacting with businesses, it is a challenging group. It is a group that is challenged by a community that often doesn't see where they fit into it. And during the growth of a lot of businesses and COVID-19, it is a challenge for anyone. It's an especially large challenge for women in business because they oftentimes are looking at roadblocks that society as a whole, and for lack of a better way of putting it, systemic sexism that exists in our society is something that they may face on a daily basis. The National Association of Women Business Owners has a Central Coast chapter, and joining us today are the president-elect of that chapter, who is Jill Drexage, and she is also the owner of a business called Oh Shirt and More, and we'll find out what that exactly means in a little bit. Tyler Skinner is with us. She's the corporate partner chair for the association, and she is the CEO and founder of Connected Communities and Women Making Waves. And Sarah Santana is president of Santana Wealth Management. We're going to take a look at something that probably all of us are aware of, but gets ignored often, and that is the challenges that women face in a world that is still, like it or not, dominated by a masculine point of view, even though there are more women than there are men and in the world. But somehow women in business get looked at skeptically and or get challenged for the very nature of the fact that they are women in those kind of positions. I can tell you from the discussions that we've had with my three guests today prior to the program, they're aware of those challenges and we're here to talk about it. I guess we probably want to start backwards a little bit, and that is I'm going to suggest that we want to know what the National Association of Women Business Owners is. And for all of you, why would you need an organization that specifically lists that from a standpoint of being women? Who wants to jump in first?
I can just say specifically from
ahead,
my
Tyler.
Own story. I'll go from my own story. I think, and it's interesting you use the word need. I look at it more as a desire and a want to find a community of women that I could learn to level up. And learn about my business more and what it means to be a woman in business, not only on the Central Coast, but just in general. And then also be able to find resources, connections, women that just understand and get you and have a safe space psychologically where you can engage in those kind of conversations. And so for me, it was more of a desire and it was kind of something I was seeking. And then when I found this group, I felt like I needed this group. Like once I found it, I went, there's the need. So not all the time do women say, I need something like this. A lot of people want to check the boxes per se and go into groups because they're like, I need to be part of this many professional organizations. It's not really that. It's more what I look at as NABO is women that kind of arrive there in their own ways and they all have their own stories. But my story was definitely that. It was seeking it out and saying, I want a community of women that are going to challenge me, that are going to love on me, support me, and give me everything that I need in business to succeed, which I didn't know I needed until I got there.
I agree with Tyler as well, Fred. And I echo that. I was also wanting to be part of a community. I moved to the Central Coast, returned back to the Central Coast after being gone about 9, 10 years. So my network didn't exist anymore. And I felt like I needed to get back into the community when I returned. And Navo had an article in the newspaper, front page, and in the local Morro Bay paper here where I live. And I saw the photo and I read the article and I showed up, and it was the first time in 20 years that I found a group of women who genuinely were supportive. They were the women that were tired of the networking groups, the tired of the, here's my card, let me shove it down your throat, let me sell you something. It was women that said, hey, I see you, I've been where you're at, and this is how I did it. It's really a community that I've never experienced. I don't know about Tyler or Jill, but in the other organizations I've been a part of, there was always missing that Nabo has really captured. We genuinely are sisters here, and we care about each other and want to support each other genuinely, because we've discovered that if you succeed, so do I. And I think that's really rare to find in organizations. And I'm humbled and honored that we have such a group like that here on the Central Coast, where there are women who have been there before us who are willing to, you know, give a hand to help instead of a handout. We want to, you know, educate and encourage and be compassionate with one another, because the world does beat us down. I mean, and not just women alone, right? The world in general. You can't see anything on social media anymore without, you know, being told you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not pretty, you're too fat, your hair's too brown, your skin's too dark, you're too light, you're too this, too that. And that's what I love about this organization, is it's genuinely supportive. And that the key component of NABO is the advocacy piece, the piece where we are in Sacramento and we are in DC advocating for women business owners, not just saying that we are, but physically located in those areas, and have an advocacy component to push forward information about resources for women in business, because you don't know what you don't know.
Well, I would pose to you the question, what is it about women in business that thrive with this kind of organization that may not thrive with all business people, or if you'll pardon me, men in business?
That's a good question.
Jill, do you want to answer?
Let me think about that.
Jill will get back to you. Tyler, take a crack at it.
Well, can you repeat it one more time? So I want to make sure I heard it clearly. I was kind of focused on giving Jill, passing the mic over.
What is it about a women's organization focused on business people who have similar backgrounds or similar focuses or similar challenges in society, that works well for women, that probably doesn't work as well and would not work as well for men?
I think, and I don't know if it works, doesn't work as well for men, because I know that men have a lot of groups like that. There's a lot of CEO groups, and there's a ton of things that men partake in that are specific to men, and they don't need to be gender specific. I've also been a part of groups, professional organizations, where it's mixed company, and that also works well in certain circumstances. You just have to be very clear about what you're doing and the objectives and kind of what we're all sharing. I think that what makes this unique for women is that what we touched on a little bit, Sarah brought it up too, is that idea of support and that level of psychological safety. I'll go back to that a lot, because women often will say, well, I'll do it with a friend, or if you know, you join, I'll join, or let's do this together. And so when you have women leveling up and lifting each other up, it's like rising tide lifts all ships. So when you have women saying, I'm here to support you in this journey. If you don't have this, I can provide a resource. Here's a little tool out of my tool belt. And they also want to bring in speakers and programming and all these things that really allow us to stretch. So we do a lot of stretching where we're not used to the growth. And then we also kind of come back in and huddle. So there's this expanding and contracting that goes on. That's really vital, I think, for women, because that's kind of our life. I mean, that's a lot of what we do in life in general. We kind of go out and we stretch and we go far, and then we come back in and say, okay, we got to come back to home base, and we got to huddle up and figure this out and discuss and dialogue. And I think that's what makes this really unique. And then the other thing is, I mean, think about, I just look at it from a mom perspective. I have two small children at home on Zoom. So I'm looking at how stretched I've been by running a business from home, and then also having my small children on Zoom and trying to interrupt and ask questions, and we're all navigating this. So we do it in our daily life anyway. We're all negotiating, we're doing all this. So it's like, how do women, can they define that more for themselves in business and then be able to succeed? And I think Nabo does a beautiful job of that.
As the token man in this discussion at the moment, I would observe that I've probably left and not joined a number of organizations that are predominantly men in the business world, because they tend to be groups of people who are hyper competitive. I tend to not enjoy a competitive environment. I enjoy more of a collegial environment. So Tyler, what you're explaining really is more of a mutual support environment, that when you introduce the male ego into some of those environments, the competition part gets in the way. And that can be very challenging, I'm sure, for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I love it.
Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, Fred. We're highly competitive too. We've just learned to be highly competitive with ourselves instead of each other.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a competitiveness that's not based upon needing to push someone down to get you up.
Yes.
Male exactly. Competitiveness, in my opinion, tends to work a lot on pushing down to get up.
You're probably right. Yeah. We have a saying that we don't apologize for being ambitious. We actually have mugs made that when you become a member, we hand you a mug that says, this is a place where we just don't apologize for being ambitious, because there's so many places out in the world where your ambition is going to get stepped on and, you know, told that it's not meaningful, it's not worthwhile, it's not worth your time. And the reality is, you know, some of us want to do good in the world, and being hyper competitive and ambitious in our own right. What is the saying? Get in trouble, but get in good trouble. You know, I think that's kind of how we are. We get in trouble, we're highly competitive, but we're strong enough to look in the mirror and say, hey, I messed up, I'm sorry, and fix it, you know, pick ourselves up and move on.
Yeah. Jill, I want to bring you into the discussion a little more. We're really looking at this issue today as to how the challenges of trying to survive business-wise during a pandemic is affecting women in business also. Tell us a little bit about your business and what challenges you're seeing this year.
So my business, I have O'Shirt and More. So I design shirts. I love making shirts that you can't find elsewhere. So Tyler recently came to me and said, I want it to have this specific saying that you can't find on, you know, online or anywhere. So I love creating specific things. I'm one of the odd ones because I actually started my business right at the beginning of the pandemic. So I started this and next thing you know, the world shut down and I went, whoa, this is weird, but mine's all online. So I've had to shift a few things as we've gone through the year, but as a woman in business, I think it's a great time. And this group was actually the reason why I started a business. Originally with Nabo, I had come into Nabo while I was in my corporate job, and I worked for a corporate, and I ended up deciding that my dream has always been to start a business. And I got the support and encouragement from this group and decided I'm just going to do it. And I jumped off the diving board.
Okay. Sarah, how did you get involved in this, and what has it done to help you shift your business during this year?
That's a really interesting question, because I too left corporate America August of 2019 and literally left a six-figure income to start from scratch. And the pandemic hit in March and I left in August the year prior. So I actually appreciate challenges. I appreciate the opportunity to grow and to pivot and to think outside the box. I just don't like to do things the same old way all the time. And I think COVID created an opportunity for us to think outside the box. One of the biggest things that COVID has allowed me to learn is the ability to have community. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I was trapped at home. You know, I missed Tyler and I missed Jill and I missed my community. But in that, we were able to grow our practice because we were quick to adapt. And it's not always, you know, the easy thing to do. It's hard to do. I moved my office from Morro Bay to Atascadero. I opened a second office. You know, I'm teaching my kids from home as well. And I'm working in my son's bedroom right now with the grass background. So you don't see, you know, his basketball posters in the background because my husband is in my office downstairs. And even though we have two offices to work from, you know, we still have to adapt because my kids are little, so we can't, you know, just leave them. So one of those things, I just appreciate COVID and any challenge that comes our way. I mean, the reality is we have to be hyper positive because if not, we're going to sit here and be in the fetal position in the corner crying, which I can't say that I haven't done. I mean, any woman in business who hasn't been on the ground in the fetal position crying, like you're doing it wrong. You know, there's going to be those moments where that happens, but you know, we just have to take it one day at a time. And that's really as simple as it can be, is just taking it one day at a time. But I learned through COVID that my community meant so much more than I had realized.
Tyler, I get the impression that the businesses that you have are actually, there's some positive outcome for them in an environment where we're doing this by Zoom and we're doing it by remote control.
That's funny you mentioned that because I didn't think so when the pandemic started. I was definitely, it was a death for me in a lot of ways. It was a grieving process. I felt like I lost something big, not only my community, because literally the name of my business is what it's all about. It's connecting people and businesses and organizations and getting them to understand the power of peer work and collaboration and what that can do for impact. And so it's all in person. Everything I was doing was in person. So for me, it was really hard to not have those meetings in person and see clients and be able to have coffees and lunches and just get to engage, because that's where I get energized from, is seeing people. But what it did for me was it forced me to check in with my introverted side, and then it brought me into balance. And it really, after letting go of some of that fear and that control and that just like worry about what could happen, all of these possibilities and opportunities opened up. I can't even describe it. I can name 1,000. And it really just has brought clarity. It's brought a lot of purpose. It's brought a lot of definition to what I was trying to accomplish before, but couldn't really quite put the pin on it. And now it's just opened up to so much. And the networking is incredible. I mean, the networking you can do globally, nationally, I mean, virtually is incredible. And that's the key. I mean, people, if you're not networking, I'm going to tell everyone this right now. If you're not networking, you got to be networking. And you got to find those ways to do that. And there's, now is a time more than ever, because people are breaking down those barriers. The ego's out the window in a lot of ways. Like Sarah's saying, everyone's got cats walking across the screen and kids jumping into the video. And we're all laughing about how we, I know, on the top we're dressed up and the bottom we're in yoga pants. And it's the reality. We all get a peek into our personal lives. And so people are starting to break that down a little bit and say, hey, come connect with me, or let's hang out. I got giddy when I started to see the words community and connection everywhere. As the pandemic hit, I went, finally, they understand what I was trying to say all these years. So it has been really good. Thank you for asking that question, Fred.
Yeah. We're seeing more businesses that are operating by remote control and will stay that way. I mean, there are large corporations I'm aware of worldwide, but in San Luis Obispo, an example is MindBody, which has, you know, a couple of thousand people working at a facility over on Tank Farm Road. They're now working from home. And my understanding is, even when they can get back in the building, the likelihood is that's a company that is still going to probably have most of their employees working remotely. And when you talk about networking opportunities, my hunch is that we're going to look at networking opportunities that are going to be maybe more beneficial to women business owners than to men business owners, because my personal opinion is that women collaborate better in a oftentimes in an environment that doesn't need to be competitive. It needs to be collaborative. So this process for me feels like a collaboration. I mean, we haven't been in the studio to do a program now for, we're just a little short of a year. And and our ability to have guests on the program that are connecting. I mean, we had the lieutenant governor of the state of California, who happens to be a woman, by the way, on this program, because we would never be able to get her in the studio in San Luis Obispo. Her time and schedule would not be such. But she made a point of, and has made a point of, connecting with smaller communities through public radio. So I think that these opportunities for you all may be something we should have discovered a long time ago.
Absolutely.
Something I do want to mention that isn't often brought up is, because the three of us here are business owners, so we're entrepreneurs. It's a little bit of a different lens. Both Jill and I've never worked in corporate, so I don't really know that world. I already knew myself early on that wasn't for me, because I'm like, that's not going to happen. So I've always tried to find a way to live this life. And it's been hard. It's a hard road. It's a hard path to choose. It's not always easy and fun, but it's definitely been rewarding. But I can say that there's a lot of women, 865,000 women have left the labor force since September 2020. And that's a huge number. And I think we need to be looking at that too, that there's just a lot of displacement. There's women with this work-life balance that they're having to make a choice. And what Sarah and I pointed out, for example, having to teach your kids at home and then, or work, and trying to juggle all that. Not every woman is capable of that or feels like they can. And it's very stressful. And so I think that that's something to definitely point out, that what does that do? I think my thought was, what does that do then for our society and for our communities? Like you're saying, these smaller communities, when you have so many women maybe shutting their business down or leaving a company and they don't have that income. And what does that do for us? Well, I think in some ways it points out a direction of what you're saying, Fred, is that gives women an empowerment tool if they're looking for it, and if they're willing to go there, it gives them a way to create that wealth for themselves and that freedom, and to be able to create a business and be able to do something for themselves where they maybe couldn't before. And I see more and more opportunity with that, especially in the virtual space, with like what you were pointing out, networking, time to connect with people you probably never would have in person because of distance and all these other things, being able to work different hours, do different things and shift. And so I think that there's a huge opportunity for that. And I would encourage women out there to explore that a little more. If you were with a company and you left, or you were laid off or furloughed, I would absolutely encourage you to explore that option. And then NABO and organizations like this are just places that you can find resources and guidance and help and support to be able to navigate some of that. And I think that that's really important. That's why our organization is ever more important for us right now, is because we know that some of that weight is on our shoulders in a way that we want to help these other women who might be out there going, what next? What next? What can I do?
You make a really valid point.
Go ahead, Sarah. Yeah.
I said you make a valid point on building wealth as well. Women proportionately contribute significantly less to their retirement accounts for obvious reasons. We take time off to be moms. We take time off to take care of our parents. You know, we tend to be the sandwich generation, where we're right in the middle between our parents and our children, or, you know, someone who's ill, or our neighbors. You know, we're the person that people go to, right? We're even your spouse's parents might call you before they call their own child, right? Because, you know, you run the show. But I think it's really important to recognize how building wealth takes part into this whole COVID experience, or post-COVID, or if we're technically still kind of in COVID. The reality is the fact that we can network and build relationships over the internet has created such an enormous opportunity, especially for people that are in remote areas that typically don't have access to quality physicians or quality and financial advisors, et cetera. The internet just creates such a enormous opportunity to connect with people all over the globe. And quite frankly, you really have no excuse not to learn, because I'm pretty sure you can Google or YouTube almost anything. I mean, I don't know how to do a lot of handiwork. You know, I got fake nails and, you know, I put lipstick on every day. Like, you're not going to see me hammering things. That's typically not me. But you know what? If I need to, I can pretty much go to YouTube and learn almost anything. I mean, Jill, or didn't you recently learn how to replace like a transmission or something online?
It wasn't the whole transmission. It was just a air intake hose. But I learned first off the problem from Google, and then I ended up looking on YouTube on how to replace it. So yes, a $40 part compared. Yeah, YouTube's amazing.
Yeah, we have a lot of opportunity to learn and adapt and grow. It's just if we want to.
I want to pose a question that there may be a simple answer to, and it may be an interesting answer. So, but in my mind, I think it's important. In a society in where business is still predominantly dominated by men, it's dominated by masculine egos. Has COVID given you an opportunity specifically to level that playing field? If you were in a face-to-face meeting with a loud, overly assertive 50-year-old man that's a colleague, but it's a challenge to you to work with, is it easier to work with that person and interact with that person, maybe a client, when you're doing it by Zoom than it is by doing it sitting across a table at Starbucks?
I don't know if it's any different. I think it just has to do with knowing yourself. I mean, I would welcome the 55-year-old loudmouth on Zoom and in person just because I love the challenge, you know? But at the same time, I think it's important to know yourself and what you're willing to tolerate and what you're willing to accept and not accept. That's, I think, the biggest challenge is a lot of people can't define who they are and what they're willing to do, what they're willing to sacrifice, or what they're trying to achieve, because we're so molded by the outside world. You know, we're shoved down our throat, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, what beauty is, what success is, what, you know, what a financial advisor should look like. I mean, I'm in my 40s now, but I've been doing this for almost 23 years, and an 18-year-old working at Wells Fargo Bank, I was looked at like a child. You know, people treated me, and I had to learn real quick who I was and where my voice was, because if I didn't, I would get squashed in a male-dominated field. I mean, the field of finance is about 60% women now. It was like 20 years ago, and it is growing, and we're making strides, women in business. But the reality is we got to know ourselves. We have to know who we are and what we're willing to tolerate. And once we get really clear on that, then the path, it opens up. I mean, what's looking for you, you're looking for it too. You know, if you're looking for that loudmouth 55-year-old client, believe me, you will find him. But if you're not, you know, yeah, the reality is we control a lot. We just tend to not embrace what we can and can't control because we're told that you should be a certain way. And you should, you know, I guess now looking back, you know, I was raised by an immigrant parent, both of them, who had a fight for everything that they had. And so as a kid, I learned that I had a fight for everything I had. And now I'm learning that I don't fight with my words, that, you know, I fight with my brain, and I don't have to, you know, get angry or upset. I can just, to your point, close the laptop and say bye-bye or hang up, right? In person, it'd be a different conversation. But I think if you really know yourself, those situations can be, you know, lucrative, not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. When you talk about, so you were talking about having worked in a bank environment when you were about 18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a woman in that environment, my hunch is that you were seen as someone who would probably always be a teller at a bank. If you were a male in that environment, you would be seen as a college student who was doing a part-time job while they got a degree in something.
You're absolutely right.
I don't think that has changed very much.
Well, I'll tell you what did change. I'm no longer in that banking environment. Right?
I gotta interject. Jill, this is radio. Shaking your head doesn't work. You have to say something.
Part of it with what you're talking about is, I look at it because I'm a private pilot, and in the aviation world, there's only 7% of pilots are women. So majority of the aviation world is a male dominated. And the comments that I've heard just to me are amazing and overwhelming. But on the other hand, it's one of those, like, I can take it, I can tolerate it, but I also can choose who, you know, who I want to talk to, and I don't have to let it bother me. And I would love to see there be more people who can just look past those negative comments and to do what you want. If there's something, even though it's a male dominated industry, or just do it.
It really comes down to your own limited beliefs. You know, our belief system is created as children, and we've learned now, it's, you know, 2021, we've learned that there's neuroplasticity, the brain can adapt. You know, a cat will always be a cat, but you can be anything you want to be. Yeah. You know, you want to be a pilot? Go ahead. You want to be a business owner? Go ahead. But a cat is always going to be a cat. But, you know, that's kind of the nice part of being human, is we can adapt and we can change. And I don't think people realize that, because, you know, growing up, when we don't accomplish certain things as kids, or if we don't know what we want to be when we grow up by that certain time, it's almost like, what's wrong with us? And the reality is there's nothing wrong with us.
That, let's leave it with that. There's nothing wrong with us is a very good statement to make. We need to take a quick break. Let people just catch their breath. This is Central Coast Voices. We're talking with the local members of the National Association of Women Business Owners, Central Coast Chapter, talking about challenges of being women in business, especially during COVID-19. This is Central Coast Voices. We'll be right back with you. Let me remind you, you can call us at 805-549-8855. Or send questions to voices@kcbx.org. But we'll be right back in a moment or two. Catch your breath, we'll catch ours, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You are listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX with Fred Monroe, your host, and you're invited to be part of today's discussion. To bring your comments or question to today's guests, call them at 805-549-8855 or email them to voices@kcbx.org. Back to you, Fred.
More positive environment than commercial radio.
Back to you, Fred.
Working that, and it's not fun. Okay, we're back. Okay, sorry. We were chatting during the break, so we're back on here. This is Central Coast Voices. I am dealing with women from the National Association of Women Business Owners today, and we are talking about the challenges of being a woman in the business world and the challenges of being a woman in the business world during COVID-19. And Tyler, you had something that during the break you wanted to jump in with.
Yeah, it's just what we last touched on before the break, of just that you were saying the male ego and the largely what dominates maybe and what we've sort of experienced. And one of the things I've seen, you know, in person versus Zoom, and how you mitigate that. And one of the things I've seen work really well, or that's worked really well for me, is that it provides an opportunity when I'm working with male counterparts, I'm working with men, you know, in different industries. What's been really nice for me is being able to show that more feminine side of myself, to be able to kind of allow them into my world, or so to speak, and allow them the grace. For example, when their kids pop into the video screen or something happens, you see them physically get embarrassed. I mean, they go like, and they want to get the virtual background on, and they just can't handle it. Whereas I say, hey, it's okay. I said, well, how old is your child? And hey, little buddy, and like talk to them. And I think that is what I'm showing them by example, you know, how to be a little more, lower that guard and bring that down a notch and be able to come to a certain balance where we can just, we're humans. Like it's not male, female, like we're human beings. We all have different energy inside of us. And it's like, I want to match you, meet you where you are. So when I look at that on the screen, I see such an opportunity, because we can hear dogs barking in the background. We can see things of their family life, and we can talk about pictures we see on the wall or something else. And I found that not disarming, but it's been very great in a way to break down some of that, what you're describing as some of the ego or some of the domineering traits that typically I think men experience. And like Sarah pointed out, I think it's childhood. I mean, we're taught those things, and we're prescribed a storyline that we don't all have to necessarily buy into. And I think giving those examples and showing them that through the way we discuss and do business is really interesting. I've seen a lot of men kind of, not that they're changing completely the way they are, but they shift a little bit. There's a little bit of the shift in conversation. They start talking about their family and their wife or what's going on. It's amazing to see. So I've found that to be very beneficial.
Sarah, from what you said, the business that you have, you're a financial planner. Okay.
Correct.
You and your husband are in the same business?
We were. That's an interesting question, and it's a whole other topic on its own. The short answer is we were business partners running our business together. And my husband just loves to be in the dirt. And he decided he wanted to go back to being in the dirt. So because, you know, it's not like you can just go out and get a job right now. He went out and started his own company as well. Entrepreneurs were attracted to each other by nature, I think. And he does that now. So no, actually, my team is remote. My team is actually out of the Bay Area. So I'm based here in Morro Bay and Atascadero. And then my team is scattered all through California, which I can tell you has been probably the most phenomenal move for my business, just because it allows them to be at home with their families. My assistant has a 17-month-old and she's able to be there with him. That's a beautiful feeling for me to have a team that wants to be there. They're able to support me and support their family. I mean, that my assistant's a rock star. Her husband also works for us as well. And it's nice to have that team dynamic right there and conference anyone in if we need to. And technology has been so crucial to connectivity within our business, but it's very nice to be able to have the team everywhere, because across time zones, and we're licensed in 14 states. So it's, well, all 50 states now. But it's a good concept to be able to take advantage. And the reality is we have to think outside the box. You know what I mean? Like there's always going to be struggles, challenges, shit thrown at us, for lack of a better word. There's always going to be things coming at us that we just have to take it one day at a time and pivot. So I like the fact that the team is scattered all over the place. Because it just makes more sense for the human dynamic. You know, I feel like I've become a better mother being at home. I've become a more patient wife. I've forced to learn to be patient again, because nothing moves quickly in this post-COVID world anymore. And, you know, hey, I'm just flexing my patient muscle, or I'm flexing my compassion muscle. The reality is we can turn dark very easily, but we have to choose positivity consistently.
I posed the answer that you gave is very clear, and that's a different direction than I was looking at, and I'm not complaining about that.
No problem.
You bring up a very clear point. I'm aware that the financial planner I happen to use is a partnership of two people. One is a woman, one is a man. They are not significant others. They are business partners.
That's the dynamic I have now. Yeah.
Okay. What I hear in that environment, and that's probably one of the best environments I think to look at from a financial planner's versus any other trade, is there is still the presumption for the two of them, and I've heard them talk about it, that oftentimes everybody turns to the male in the room for the last word.
Well, my husband, they did shake his hand first consistently, but I liked it. I embraced it. You know, I would embrace it. People would say, oh, hey, you're the financial advisor. And, you know, it was an interesting, I enjoyed it. I never took offense to it because I know who I am. So I don't need somebody else to give me the approval. But I would always, I found that funny. And yeah, they would shake his hand first. They'd shake his hand last. But after one or two meetings, they realized who made all the decisions real quick. And just so you know, my husband didn't make a very good assistant. That's why he doesn't work for me anymore. Oh, we love each other, but just in that work environment didn't work. Thank you for bringing that up, Fred.
thank you for the answer.
But my business partner is a man now. And 9 out of 10 times he does have the last say. But I have it by choice. I like that. I let him just, you know. What is this old saying? The man is the head, but the woman.
That's
the woman
from Big Fat Greek Wedding. Great movie.
Yeah. So I'll take my place as the neck. all day long.
Yeah. Yeah, Jill, that transcends into something I want to ask you about, because you have the benefit of the three guests I have right now, the three of you, to be the one that has the business that to some extent you can be invisible for. Mm-hmm. Because you said most of your business is driven by the internet. Mm-hmm. So there may be people who are your clients who don't even know your name. And is that benefited you does that give you, if you will, a gender neutral role in business that takes away some of the challenges of the way society perceives women business owners?
100%. Yes. A lot of people don't know me. They don't know who is behind O'Shirt and More. It's just, they go there and they make their purchase and never know the difference. So for me, it's been one of those that, as far as gender roles, it's never really been an issue in my business, just because it has no, the internet is amazing because I'm anonymous in some ways.
Did you choose to be anonymous? Do you happen to be anonymous?
I prefer it that way. So overall, I would have to say that I love interactions with people, and a lot of the people locally that I do business with, we know each other and we, you know, interact a lot. But having the internet, there's a part that is personal where, you know, there is some interaction. Most of the time they don't know who it is, the name or the person behind that, but there is a lot of interaction with every transaction that I do, even on the internet. But it's also one of those that there's been times where I've had mean or nasty people, and I get the choice of declining their transaction or their order. And in some ways, because I don't know them, they don't know me, it's kind of just makes it easy to have the choice. And I think it's really important to learn what's tolerated and what's not. And there's certain things that I just don't tolerate.
Thanks. We'll continue with that in a minute. I understand we have a call-in question, so our engineers will let us know what's up here.
Yes. Hi, Fred. A mother of four in San Luis Obispo is facing an empty nest next year. She's going to be looking for new opportunities, and she wonders about local resources that might be available to her.
Okay, well, other than the National Association of Women Business Owners, what can my guest suggest?
I think my follow-up question, is she looking for an opportunity to start a business, or is it, I wasn't clear on that. She's looking for opportunities to connect with other women. Is that what it was?
I believe resources.
Additional resources.
So if it's for connecting with other women, I mean, there's tons of meetup groups and moms groups and things of that nature that's a good place to start. And then I think the other thing I would suggest, if it's for business, is the Women's Business Center. You know, going somewhere to those resources are really vital in starting. You get a lot of free help. You're able to get accounting help and help with your starting a website and help with how to put together a business plan, accounting, I mean, everything. So it's actually a really, really great program. If you're looking to you have an idea, you have something, you just don't know where to start. I think that's an awesome resource, and it's something available to us. They get their funding through many other sources and grants, and so they're able to provide those services with local business owners, male and female. They have people that are consultants there that can help. And so I absolutely would steer that direction.
So that's the Women's Business Center.
Yeah, they're through the Mission Services, Mission Community Services Corp. So the MCSP. MCSC.
MCSC.
MCSC, that's it. Yeah. They're right over there on Zaca. They're off of their Zaca Lane over there off South Higuera and Slo.
Yeah. To the caller, if you can't Google that and find it right away, if you send an email to voices@kcbx.org, I'll make sure that gets sent to my three guests and they can do some research with you.
Absolutely. Another good resource is your local chamber. They're relatively inexpensive, and the director can typically tell you who in their community is is able to help and serve. I know there's always businesses that have resources to help and serve. The Chamber is a great organization to check out. A lot of the cities have them. You know, Grover Beach has a, or AG has a chamber. Morro Bay has a chamber. The Chamber websites, and then also the SBA. SBA website has also a lot of resources for funding. That there's a lot of resources there as well.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. So as we wind down, hopefully, from the challenge of COVID disrupting our lives as drastically as it has, it's going to be a while before we get back to normal. What do you see for all three of your businesses as, I guess, the most likely opportunity to grow with? I'm going to start with Jill first, only because we have to kind of rattle her cage a little more often, I see.
So what was the question?
As COVID is transitioning, hopefully, out of our lives, what do you see the growth of your business, and what do you see the way in which you're going to pick up where you left off before you got slowed down?
Yeah, I think for me, it's been an amazing growth throughout the last year, and I'm super excited about that. I am looking forward to actually being in person and events and conventions, of being able to get out there of in person and just take my business to that next level. The internet and online has been amazing, but there's so many other opportunities that I'm looking forward to going forward.
Tyler.
I'm looking forward to just growing this platform. The Women Making Waves has been really great. And like we pointed out earlier, I'm finding my niche of interviewing. I'm getting connected to people all over the country and the globe, and just finding really fascinating people to be able to interview and bring into the fold and create this community for women. I also really am looking forward to just this idea of, I guess, community connection and finding these ways. I am dabbling in in-person events. I just want to point that out. And I know that people will go and gasp, but I am dabbling in that, and it's working out. And I think that we all know that COVID is here. It's been here a while. We have to learn to live with it in some ways. And so we need to figure out ways to move forward. I have an event management and consulting background. So I know a lot about how to put those together and create that connection. And so that's been very rewarding, as we're seeing a lot of benefit from doing these smaller, intimate in-person events. So it's coming.
So the connections that you're building for your business that are primarily driven by the distance and having to meet by things like Zoom and webinars and things like that, you feel like you can build that more towards an in-person direction?
Yes, I think so. I think there's definitely an opportunity. Our coast, Central Coast, has a really, really amazing, unique landscape in the fact that we are geographically kind of isolated from bigger metropolitan areas, first of all. And we have a lot of open space and outdoor space. So I think utilizing that is really key. We also have really great weather. So we can definitely use that a little more.
This isn't Texas. It's not snowing this week.
It's not. And I feel bad for my friends in Texas, but I have to say that you've got to work with what you've got.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Sarah, your business is pretty much moving in the same direction, regardless of how much time we can spend together. So, but are you seeing any changes in the way you're going to have to focus post COVID?
Absolutely. And I embrace it lovingly, because I look at the advice that I give it to myself as well. So I have to continuously focus on my specialty. I can't do everything. I think what COVID has created is the opportunity for other people to like learn how to do 900 things. I don't want to learn how to do 900 things. I just want to do my one thing perfectly and better than everybody else. And two, building community does that. When you specialize in one thing, you need other people to specialize in what they do. And that automatically defaults to building community. And then thinking outside the box. I think COVID allowed us to think outside the box. I purchased an RV recently, and I called it my mobile office. And I have clients in Texas, Arizona, Ohio, Las Vegas, and Nevada. And they're like, hey, Sarah, we can't see you. We don't want to see you on Zoom. I said, no problem. In my RV, mobile office. I talk to my CPA. It's a tax write-off. you know, you just got to think outside the box. Last year, we developed a nonprofit called A Life Worth Living because we want to give money away. You know, our financial practice has done very well, and it's not greed to want to keep it all to yourself. We want to give it away. We want to give it away. And so one of the things that we're doing in our own community is putting money back into the community and working with our local chamber, working with some of the local businesses to be able to fix things that COVID has torn down. For example, we're working with a local coffee shop. We're going to redo their back patio. It's low priority for her. She's just trying to stay open. And here's a young lady who started her business in May of 2020. So the ability to build community, connect the dots. I mean, Tyler and Jill have it nailed down perfectly. And I think it's just really important that we continue to do what it is that we do. And for me, I like to give money away. I like to fix things. I'm a fixer. I'm a solution finder. I'm not an excuse maker. And I think that's what Nabo does in leaps and bounds, is brings those types of people together so that we can build community and jump leaps and bounds together.
We'll leave it with that for the moment. As most of my regular listeners know, because I talk too much, that I make sure in the last few minutes of the program, my guests get to really have their undivided ability to make sure that the last word comes from them. Jill, I'm going to start with you. What do you want to make sure that people walk away with or step away with from today with a better understanding of women in business and what your challenges are?
A couple of things. Like, over the last year, I've seen a lot of my friends having to close their businesses because of the challenge. And I just want to encourage everyone to think about where you're spending your money. And you have a choice on where those dollars go out of your pocket. And I've really, throughout this whole thing, tried to make the shift of it. Yes, you know, buying online and some of those big Amazon is so easy and convenient, but is it something that you can support a local business or a friend or so just kind of really taking a look at where the money is going and try to support as many local or small businesses as possible, because they definitely need the help, especially right now. And the other thing is, if there's any local women who want to come and check out Nabo, our meetings are typically the first Friday of the month. Even if you're not a current business owner, when I first started, I wasn't. And it was something that I had always thought about. And by going to the meetings and seeing that there's a lot of women in this area who have started a business and that it is something that you can do, I just encourage you to come check us out if you're interested, and we'd love to have you.
You sound like a group of people who like to mentor others, so that sounds like a good environment for some people to start.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Tyler.
I just want to say, I think, Jill, you said it beautifully. I think our community needs our support right now more than anything. And I just want to say I'm a definite resource for that. So I want to encourage any of your listeners out there to reach out to me and connect to me. I'm sure you can provide information as far as our email. You can also connect to me on my website. It's connectedcommunitiesco.com. So please reach out, because I've been described by many, and I feel like I'm owning and embracing this, as I have a giant tool belt. And so when anyone comes to me, it's like, I've got something for you. I've got someone for you. I've got something for you. And I'm definitely always willing to share and help, because I think that that's the important thing, is sharing knowledge, sharing resources, sharing contacts, because that's going to really help build us up and find a way forward together. And so I want to just encourage women, men, everyone out there to reach out and stay connected, and also to live that way, to live your life that way, and see how much it changes for you when you do transfer that over to others and you start to realize that the people right next to you, literally your local business, your neighbor next door, your teachers, everyone else, when you start to see who's next to you. And like Sarah pointed out earlier, compassionate curiosity. I've built my entire business on that premise. And so having that compassionate curiosity about others and really wanting to know people, I think really helps a lot in the way of how we can do things together and make big, big impact and move forward. So that's the way to dig out of the hole, if we want to call the hole COVID. I think that's going to be the key.
Good point. Good final thought. Sarah.
Thank you for Fred. I just want to thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to share about NABO and a little bit about our business. I, too, like Tyler mentioned, I'm a resource as well. You can check out SantanaWealthManagement.com. We serve families, business owners, and nonprofits. And one of the things that was really important to me when establishing our own business was not to have any minimums. It was important for us to create a financial impact for everybody, not just the wealthy or get wealthier. We wanted to serve our community and people that need it. So we're definitely a resource. I think it's important to have your money situation under control before you jump out and take a leap of faith and start a business. Is kind of check the boxes on, you know, financial. Are you set? Are you putting yourself in a position to have a long-term business, not just a short-term hobby?
Good point. Thank you. That's, I have to tell you, this has been one of the most delightful programs to do in a long time, because there is more positive energy in this discussion with the three of you today than we often see. It's been a frustrating year for a lot of people. You offer a lot of challenges addressed in a very positive way. Jill, I want to mention real quickly, one of the things I admire about what you're doing is the fact that local businesses that are predominantly driven by internet clientele are hard for people to sometimes pay attention to. So I encourage businesses to look and see where that business is based. Sometimes what you think is based in San Miguel, California may actually be based in China. And so that online businesses that are local is another way to keep the local connection also. And I thank all three of you being with us today. This has been Central Coast Voices. I want to remind you that next week, Chris Kington Barker will be back in my chair, and she is going to have a great program. They're going to look at the 27th annual San Luis Obispo International Film Festival, which will be done predominantly virtually this year. It's amazing how we have learned how to do virtual movies, virtual film festivals. My hunch is that we are going to see this year that most of the Oscars will be related to movies that have never been inside a movie theater. So Chris is going to have folks from the film festival on next week looking at what they've got coming up. It'll include 30 feature films, 63 short films, 18 music videos, and a lot of programming to really get a handle on that you might want to be interested in. They'll be talking about that next Thursday afternoon. Want to remind you, Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County, along with our partnership with KCBX Public Radio. We have been able to do this for a number of years, and we thank you for your support. You can read about Action for Healthy Communities at actionslo.org. You can also reach us at voices@kcbx.org also. I want to thank my guests today, Jill Drexage, Tyler Skinner, and Sarah Santana, for being with us for a wonderful program. This has been Central Coast Voices. You all have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Fred.